Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, is proud to present Life Talk Live, a show that takes a look at relationships and mental health. A show about relationships with your family, relationships with your employer, relationships with yourself and everyone around you. This show is made possible by the support of the Delta Center, located at 300 First Avenue Southeast in Cullman, and by Lee's Veterinary Hospital and veterinarian Bruce Lee, located at 2126 2nd Avenue Northwest here in Cullman, or online at leesvethospital.com. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, here's your host for Life Talk Live, Dr. Howard Rogers.
Good afternoon. I'm Howard Rogers.
And I'm Richard Morris.
And we're from the Delta Center. We spent a little bit of time last week. Matter of fact, we spent a whole hour last week on assertiveness, didn't we?
We did.
We ever define what is assertiveness?
Well, we did, but I think we want to review it since we're going to talk some more about assertiveness
today. That
might
be a good thing to do.
Well, it's a communication style.
Yeah. The way you relate.
And it's being able to express your feelings, thoughts, beliefs, and opinions. That's a bunch of different things.
Yeah, it is. Thoughts, beliefs, and opinions.
Boy,
that would really blow people away in today's environment, wouldn't it? You got an opinion, and you have the right to express it.
Well, that goes against a lot of things we're told, doesn't it?
Or tune into any major news channel, and you don't know if it's a thought or an opinion or a fact.
Well, and a lot of things that are thoughts or opinions are told as facts.
So. Right, and what we're giving you, I promise you, are proven facts that if you research the literature on assertiveness, it will be there.
Right, and we can show you.
Yes. And the monologue leading into it says, you know, research it, call us, we'll tell you.
Now, to go on with what assertiveness is.
Yes, Les.
It's an open, you know, it's expressing yourself in all these ways in an open manner. Now, here's the important part, that doesn't violate the rights of others.
Yeah. Now, How in the world do you know what their rights are? I mean, it's kind of a catch-22 there, isn't it?
Well, it really does come back to your own beliefs mm-hmm. about yourself and other people. Do they have the right to an opinion, or are you going to tell them what it is?
Well, I think they have a right to their opinion, and that's one of the things that, you know, we talked about last week, that everyone has the right to their own opinion.
And I don't have to agree with it.
No.
But it's their belief.
And if they want to be wrong, it's okay. And that brings us to the point of, you know, there's three different ways that you can communicate things, three different thoughts or ideas that you can push, or a way in which you can push them.
A way in which you communicate
right.
those things.
Right.
And there's the passive way, which the passive way, you know, my needs don't matter. I'm just wanting to please the people around me.
Yeah, I told a person that I was seeing today, you have guilt, but it's self-imposed guilt. She said, what?
Well,
and passive. Passive.
Right, because when you're passive, it's somebody else's fault.
Yes.
Okay, well, then there is assertiveness. Now, assertive people, they respect both their own needs and the needs of other people.
Kind of a win-win situation, isn't it?
To the extent you're able to do that. That's right. Mm-hmm. Or at least if your beliefs are different from somebody else's, to accept that they have those beliefs and they're entitled to them.
Right.
And sometimes that's hard to do.
It's hard to swallow.
And that leads us to the third form of communication, and that's aggressiveness. And in that one, you don't care what the rights of other people are. You're only interested in getting your way.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to almost as much discomfort and difficulty as being passive.
Yeah. But when you get to assertiveness, though, there are some myths about assertiveness. Assertiveness is basically the same thing as being aggressive, so the myth goes.
Well, it's a myth, isn't it?
It's a myth. It isn't
okay.
true.
Okay, so it's not the same as being aggressive. And the key difference is that you allow the other person to have an opinion and or to maybe be right for them.
Right, and you express your opinion without name-calling, without, vulgarity, any of those things. It's just a calm statement of what you believe, what you think, what your ideas are. So assertiveness is not basically the same thing as being aggressive. I don't think it's anywhere close.
No, it's... Now, if you're assertive, that must mean you'll always get what you want.
Yeah, you go That's with that.
How did that work out for you? I'm assertive, so I will get what I want.
It doesn't mean that.
Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?
What it means is that you are at least approaching solving a problem, talking about a situation in a way that your needs are represented.
Not necessarily met, but represented without.
Well, try doing that with a police officer. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to work out, even though you're right.
Yeah.
It may not always work out that way.
This is true. Myth number three is, if I am assertive, I have to be assertive in every situation.
Oh, my, that'll get you in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Like I was just talking about.
You're with the police.
Pulled over
yeah,
by
go
the
ahead,
police. Yeah, that's, and that's not to say that the police do bad things. I'm not saying that.
No.
But they are trained to be aggressive because their position is, you have done this.
Mm-hmm.
And, they are taught to take control of the situation because they are not there to be your best friend.
True.
Now, they may save your life, and they may, keep you from running into somebody else or save somebody else's life. But their job is not to be nice to you or me.
So, assert yourself, they say. How do you do that? I mean, if you're going into a change of personality the first of the year, if you're deciding you're not going to be passive because it's not getting you where you need to be, and you're not going to be aggressive because it's not getting you where you need to be. How do we move into an assertive, I guess, personality, an assertive way of acting, assertive communicative style?
Right.
How do we do that?
Well, it starts, and it's not chicken and egg. This really does start with your thinking.
Wow.
Well, it has
Cogito
to.
Cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
It's the only thing I learned in philosophy.
Oh, well, you learned more than I did then.
Thinking.
And these things, really, where do they come from? They come from childhood, where you're taught either purposely or by watching, you're mm-hmm. taught these various unassertive ways of dealing with things,
and that gene pool has somewhat to do with it too, I think.
Well, and like we talked about last week, if you have an anxiety disorder, a lot of times you tend to be less assertive,
mm-hmm.
and that I'm not sure. Now that is a chicken and egg sort of thing. That there's a strong biological component, and there is a biological experiential biological mm-hmm. thing that comes up too. But it does come from your history, from the way you're trained.
The majority of it's going to be, this is the only thing I saw when I was growing up, so I don't have a point of reference for anything else.
Right. Well, or in some situations you might do things one way, and another situation you might mm-hmm. do them differently. Mm-hmm. But here's a few types of typical unassertive thoughts. I shouldn't say how I'm really feeling or thinking because I don't want to be a burden to others with my problems.
Yeah, and you find that a lot in codependent people.
True.
I don't want to express myself because I don't want to burden you with my problems. Not only should I handle your problems so you're happy, but I should also handle all of my problems so they don't spill over onto you.
And again, we're talking about the kind of patterns of thoughts that get us into trouble with assertion.
Right.
And I would say to that person who's having those types of thoughts, maybe what you need to consider is not sharing everything.
Yes.
You know, there are some things you share with some people and other things nobody really needs to know.
Yeah. You ever sit there and look at people like, I don't think I'd have said that.
Yeah, now that's not as often in therapy as
in real life. I don't think I would have said that. No, no, no. How about if I assert myself, I will upset someone else and ruin our relationship.
Well, again, that comes back to the idea that one thing you say could ruin the whole relationship. Mm-hmm. That's not usually true. Now, what about it would be terribly embarrassing if I say what I think?
Yeah.
It could be.
I saw a T-shirt the other day that said, if you think what I say is bad, you ought to hear what I don't say. Some people are more easily embarrassed than others.
Well, and there are some things that some people say that I just sort of scratch my head and say, I don't think I'd have said that.
But and you don't touch it either, do you? I mean, you just walk away from it.
Just keep on with the conversation. But the thing is we're talking about not just unassertive sorts of things, but catastrophizing in some ways.
Sure. These people tend to have the fact that if you tell them no, that you don't like them, you don't love them, you don't want to be with them, you don't want to be around them. And I think that more than anything is difficult to manage. If I tell you no, it's just no. It's not that I don't want you to do what you're doing. I just don't want to do it.
Well, and there you said it. To start with, the implication is if you say no, you are telling this other person something that then they won't like you or won't care about you anymore. And most of life really isn't that way.
No, no. I've got a little book on my bookcase that says How to Say No in 1,000 Words. And then another book that says How to Say No Without Feeling Guilty. And then another book, How to Say No Without Stepping on Toes. And I've loaned those books to many, many people. And they've come back, really? I can do that? Sure, try it sometime. Well, I don't know whether I can do that or not.
I really thought about seeing if we could go take a break, but I'm afraid you just told me no, and then we'll be in trouble. So.
We're going to take a break in, about 3 minutes?
That's fine.
Will that work? See, now
go ahead and tell me no.
Okay.
You're just like my wife.
Oh, no.
Now, but here's the next one is I shouldn't have to say what I need or how I feel because people that are close to me should already know those things.
Oh, boy.
That's the mind reader.
Yeah.
And
you see, they do, but here's where it comes to an impasse. It's when they want to change you. They don't agree with what you think, or they know what you think, and that doesn't surprise them, but they don't agree with what you think.
Yeah. Well, I've met some people like that, too. And,
they probably come to your office about once a week would be my guess.
Yes.
Well, but here's the thing about that is if they want to change me, that's one thing. But, mm-hmm. but it would make better sense for them just to accept that I'm not going to change.
Yeah, but the fact that...
They'll come back with you and say, you're so stubborn.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But you should already know. I'm reminded of the story.
They're supposed to know you before they marry you, I think. So.
Yeah.
Oh, we're still talking about your wife, huh?
No, we're not. No, we're not. Actually, we get along remarkably well.
This lady went to the doctor with her husband. I can get this in before the break. And the husband just sat there, and the doctor said, well, what's wrong with him? She said, I don't know. He won't tell me. And they kept on and on and on. And the doctor said, well, I want you to take him down to Dr. Lee. I looked at him and said, isn't Dr. Lee a veterinarian? The doctor said, well, yeah, but he's the only doctor in town that can look a horse in the face and tell what it's thinking.
Okay. Let's go on with at least one more item.
Yeah, one more item.
It's uncaring, rude, and selfish to say what you want. And there are some people that feel that way, but it's not. I mean, that's automatically saying you're wrong.
Well, if you don't say what you want, it's pretty much guaranteed you're not going to get it. Because you go back to the next one, you should know what people are thinking. And when people say, you know what I'm thinking, don't you? I said, no, I've got the degrees and I've got the experience to help you with what you think if you tell me what you think. But I'm not good enough to know what you think.
See, I'm going to have to use that in my next conversation. If I don't say what I want, I'll not get it, okay?
So I'm going to say it.
I know you don't agree with it, but if I don't say it, I won't get it.
Well, if you don't say it, you can't get it.
It's true.
That's true.
We're going to be back shortly
after the break.
Stay with us.
Allstate agent Ben Sellers is now serving Coleman. He lives and works here just like you. And with all kinds of local insurance advice, Ben is someone you can count on to help protect all that's good in your life. Ben makes it easy to save on the quality protection you need. He'll even do the switching and paperwork for you. You can stop by Ben's new office today for a free quote, located at 2130 2nd Avenue Northwest or Highway 31 just north of Highway 157. That's 2130 2nd Avenue Northwest or Highway 31 just north of Highway 157. We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net. Listen to Live 95 from December 6th through the 17th for the Hansville Auto Service Christmas Song of the Day. Then at 5 p.m., register on Facebook for your opportunity to win a Christmas gift from Hansville Auto Service. Jill Hudson, Hansville Auto Service's owner, wants to thank you for being wonderful customers and using Hansville Auto Service for your automotive needs. They wish everyone a warm and fun-filled season full of joy. Welcome back. Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, is proud to present Life Talk Live, a show that takes a look at relationships and mental health, a show about relationships with your family, relationships with your employer, relationships with yourself and everyone around you. This show is made possible by the support of the Delta Center, located at 300 First Avenue Southeast in Coleman, and by Lee's Veterinary Hospital and veterinarian Bruce Lee, located at 2126 2nd Avenue Northwest here in Coleman, or online at leesvethospital.com. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, here's your host for Life Talk Live, Dr. Howard Rogers.
I noticed he didn't say anything about your relationship with your disc jockey, so I guess I'm not included in that. So.
You know, there's a lot of people that have pets.
That's true. Yeah.
And you know, a lot of them don't know what to get them for Christmas.
Well, what do you get a pet for Christmas?
I'm going to throw out a suggestion here. Take them by Dr. Lee. Get them a checkup. Make sure their shots are up to date.
Okay. Make sure they've had their flea medicine.
Absolutely.
You don't want the fleas and the worms.
And that's something you could be assertive about.
Well, it wouldn't take much, would it?
No, it wouldn't. Many of the ideas that we look at with assertiveness came out in a book that I mentioned earlier by Manuel J. Smith. When I say no, I feel guilty. This started back in 1975. And they came, he came up with a really good thing. You may want to send a stamp self-addressed envelope or figure out some other way to get it, maybe buy the book, to what Smith calls the Bill of Assertive Rights.
And those are, they're a way of kind of saying what you do have the right to.
What you have the right to do, to say, to think. And some of these rights are, you have the right to judge your own behavior, thoughts, and emotions, and to take the responsibility for their initiation and consequences upon who you are. And you know, I was doing really good till I get down there that take the consequences. And I think that's one thing that we have to buy into.
Well, and all the rest of these rest on that same
premise. There are consequences.
There are consequences, and a lot of times that is one way that aggressive people keep us responding in a passive way to them.
Hey, Jay, can you say anything you want to when you get home and still have breakfast in the morning?
Can
you? He says he can.
Okay, well then his consequences aren't so terrible.
No, but you have the right to judge your behavior, thoughts, and emotions. You don't need to leave that up to someone else. You don't need to say, well, what do you think?
Got to have a big enough house and got to know where the wife is.
Well, and that comes to the next one, and that is you have the right to say no.
Yeah, and I'm kind of upset that this wasn't caught when it was proof because they got the period in the wrong place under no. That should be inside the quote mark, not on the outside.
Well, you're the English professor. I understood it.
You have the right to say no. Now, this is this maybe situational? You have the right to say no regardless?
Well, if you're willing to accept the consequences.
The consequences, right?
And that's one of the reasons why we don't just automatically say what we're thinking.
Yeah, so you have the right to say no.
Well, and you also have the right to offer no reasons or excuses for justifying your behavior. Now, again, go back and add the rest of that to that.
If you're willing to accept the consequences. But this is a hard thing to do because if you ask someone to do something and they say no, then you're going to say to them, why?
Are you?
I am.
Well, there you go. And that's the point at which your responsibility and your accepting of the consequences comes in.
Yeah, I work with codependent people and unassertive people. And one of the things is, what do you say when someone asks you why you say you can't do that? And it's really simple. I don't have that planned into my day. I do not have that planned into my day. I do not have that planned into my day. Never change your wording, just like a broken record. I do not have that planned into my day. Because if you ever give them one excuse, it's not going to be a good enough excuse.
Well, that's true, because if they thought any excuse was good enough, they wouldn't be questioning that.
True. So I just don't have that planned into my day. I don't have that planned into my day. That's the only answer you're going to get. So where do we go from there?
Well, you have the right to judge if you are responsible for finding solutions to other people's problems.
Oh, you mean it might not be something you wanted to accept the blame for?
Or the responsibility for.
Or the responsibility for.
Well, and if you think about it, that goes to the basis of assertiveness. Because aggressiveness is where you are judging and being finding solutions for other people and then imposing them on them.
Yeah, but I'm not responsible. And, you know, that takes a lot of pressure out of your day.
But if you're dealing with someone who is passive, it just made their day a little harder because they have to come up with their own justifications for
what they're doing. But I'm assertive and I don't care.
Oh, you do care, because the people that you care about may be the ones who are wanting you to make those decisions.
Oh, then I was being aggressive, wasn't I?
Well, you have gotten into a difficult situation with that other person because you're not allowing them to make their own decisions mm-hmm. and accept their own responsibility for those decisions.
Right. How about changing your mind? Do you have the right to change your mind?
No. Of course you do. Now, well, think about it this way. If something happens that changes the facts in a situation or what you understand about a situation, then of course you ought to be able to change your mind about it.
Well, what about if I just want to change it on a whim? Do I have the right to do that?
Well, I know a number of people that do.
Mm-hmm. We're not going anywhere with that, are we?
No, that's as far as we need to go.
But if you want to change your mind, you can. And you don't have to get permission to do it. There are some things that you wouldn't want to change your mind about. But as a general rule, if you told someone you'd go to the movies with them next Friday and somewhere around Wednesday you decide you don't want to go, you just call them and say, I'm sorry. My plans have changed. That's no longer a convenient thing to do.
Now, the next one is one of those things that over the holidays especially may be difficult.
Yes, indeed. I suspect
you
it will.
You do have the right to disagree with other people's opinions.
Maybe it's cold outside.
It may be cold inside if you do.
Yeah.
And if you're around people for an extended period of time that are just totally at odds with you on beliefs about mm-hmm. things, and in particular the political situation.
Yeah, I've got friends and relatives that are just so totally wrong.
Well, they have the right to that opinion.
They do. And that's
as wrong-headed as it
they
is.
They do. They have the right to that. They have the right to vocalize that.
And, you know, I've finally figured out that a lot of times it doesn't matter how much I talk with them about how wrong they are, they're not going to change their mind.
Just wasted air, isn't it?
Right. And every time I mention how wrong they are, they're going to mention to me just how wrong I am. So, you know, on some basis, once you've decided this person is just wrong about this,
yes,
then you just need to hush.
Mm-hmm.
Because yep. you're not going to change their mind. They're not going to change yours. So what are you solving by getting heated up about it?
You're not. And politics and religion are best just left alone.
Now, you also have the right to make mistakes. But really? We're not supposed to do that, are we?
Now, I start to say I've never made a mistake, but then I can think of two.
I'm not going to touch those. Not even going to try. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that goes with that. Yes, you have the right to make mistakes.
Yeah.
But you have the responsibility.
Yes, you do.
That goes with having made those
mistakes.
Yes, you
do. You have to own up to those. You have to buy into them.
And when you realize that you've made a mistake, you can change your mind. Now, you might eat some crow. But
it's not bad if you cook it right.
Okay. Now, you also have the right to say, I don't know.
Whoa.
Now, I've done that in therapy with clients. I've said, you know, I just don't know the answer to that.
Well, you have to if you want to have any credibility, because I don't know the answer to everything.
I don't know everything. And that is the bottom line.
Yeah, and if you ever get caught lying to them or blowing smoke on them, you have lost all credibility.
Justifiably.
Yes. So why not just say, I don't know, I'm not familiar with that. You ask me a question about biology and all that, and I will tell you, I haven't the foggiest idea. I took one biology course in my entire academic career.
Right. Now, that's just like if you ask me about English grammar, I will be the first to say, you know, I don't know, or I'm not sure.
I think you're being overly modest there, but okay.
I did write a dissertation, but
yeah,
that doesn't mean it was always correct. And
you have the right to be illogical in making decisions. Why did you do that?
I don't know.
Because I wanted to. I'm a big people. I can pretty much do what I want to do, but there are
consequences,
and you got to buy them,
and you've got to accept responsibility. Now, you have the right to say, I don't understand.
Yep.
Whoa, that's hard for a lot of people, especially if you're used to getting your way. How can you demand your way if you won't accept that you don't understand?
Yeah. And there's so much, and as the world of technology evolves, I'm finding more and more things that I have very little knowledge of. And it's rough to say, you know, I don't understand.
Well, I have a stepson who is a big shot in cancer research.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love talking with him about his research and what's going on where he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll have to say that a lot of the genetic stuff, I don't understand. I don't have a clue about.
I don't either.
Because, you know, when he tells me eventually up to one-third of the cancers that are seen will be shown to have a genetic, you know,
component.
Marker or, right.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two-thirds are random.
People that think they know everything, to me, are rather scary because I know they don't know everything. And that's scary that they think they do.
Well, and here's the other side of this conversation is you have the right to say, I don't care.
Oh, gosh.
I don't care that genetics
sounds
so are so
cold. That sounds, of all of them, that sounds so cold. But if someone tells me that there's 3,482,000 stars in the sky, I don't care.
Now, if they were to tell me there's 300,000 people dying of a disease, that would be different
for me
to say, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I may not want to spend every moment worried about it, but that's far from saying I don't care.
This is true. This is true. But we have the assertive right to do all of those things. But I heard many years ago that people didn't realize that in New York City there was a Statue of Liberty that gave certain rights, but there were also things in California that demanded certain responsibilities.
Well, and that's the thing. Okay, with the rights come responsibilities. And that responsibility is something that I think a number of people have difficulty accepting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've gotten to this point, but how do you change your beliefs?
Change?
Well, yeah, we just said the ugly word, didn't we?
Yes, it's difficult. A therapy that we both use and are somewhat familiar with, I think, might be helpful in doing that. It's known as cognitive behavioral therapy, which in I guess layman's terms, let's change the way we think and let's change the way we act.
Well, and I guess you're familiar with the ABCs of emotional upset. Basically, you have something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a response to that.
Mm-hmm.
But what tells you what kind of response you're going to have? Your belief about what that event meant.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting to how you can change those beliefs.
Yeah.
Because if you believe that something's awful, well, you're going to act like it's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
But what if it isn't?
Then you have wasted a lot of emotional energy with that thought pattern.
Yes, you have. So to change that, one way that you can do that is to challenge that belief about what the event meant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just like, let's assume that on the way home, I have a flat.
Oh, let's hope not.
Yeah, let's hope not. I can get out and I can kick that tire. I can scream at the vehicle. I can get terribly upset, none of which is going to correct the situation.
No, not at all. And so we're coming to another thought, which is the thought diary.
Yeah. That's this. The thought diary works in assertiveness. I require this of people I'm working with in anger management. Every time they get angry, you got to write down. You got to write down what happened. You got to write down what you thought. You got to write down what you did.
And then include, well, how upset did you get?
Yeah.
Because, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy is not about changing your beliefs to just whatever you want them to be so you can be happy. It's about a more accurate view of your world and the things that happen in it.
Right. Let's hold that thought. We'll come back and do some more work on thought diaries. I would encourage you maybe to get a piece of paper and a pen and write down some of your thoughts. And you can call us at 256-737-9505 if you have a question. Is Facebook up, Jay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you can send us messages on Facebook. We'll be happy to answer your questions. Or if you have suggestions, please give those to us. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Medical Arts Apothecary and Living Well Store is located in the middle of downtown Cullman, conveniently located just a block south of the courthouse. This locally owned business offers friendly, no waiting, personal service. How can it get any better than that? Well, here's how. How about the fact that they even deliver within the city limits of Cullman? You've got a sick kid? Well, what could be better than calling Medical Arts and asking them to deliver the medicine that you need? In fact, I can't think of another pharmacy that does that. They also have a large selection of food for special diets, as well as health, food, oils, and supplements. Flu shots are available too. They can be reached at 734-4933 or online at medicalartswellnessrx.com. Let Medical Arts Apothecary save your day.
Hey, this is Susan Atkinson with Medical Arts Apothecary and Living Well Natural Store. We have proudly been serving Cullman and its surrounding areas for over 60 years, and we appreciate your continued business.
It's the holidays, and everyone is stressed out over shopping, baking, and general holiday craziness. Live 95 and Cullman's Jimmy John's wants to give you a chance to be the office or family hero. Everyone wants extra brownie points, or should I say chocolate chip cookie points, with their boss and their family this time of year. But we want you to get all the points this year. You could win a 30-piece party platter by sharing why your office or family deserves a party this holiday season. Have you been late one too many times this year? Have you driven your parents crazy asking for the way too expensive present? Or maybe your office or family has a truly inspiring story about all the good you've done in the community this year. Check out our Facebook page for more information about how Live 95 and Jimmy John's of Cullman can make you the holiday hero. Merry Christmas from Cullman's Live 95 and Cullman's Jimmy John's.
Seed Harvest Music Academy offers a rich musical learning environment for those families seeking to get a jump start on musical learning. Offering preschool and elementary musical classes, Seed Harvest offers strings, keyboard, percussion, and most musical instruments. Your child can choose between several musical ensembles or private lessons. Take your choice from the senior and junior guitar ensembles, the Cullman Homeschool Orchestra or Jazz Band, or the Cullman Youth Strings, just to name a few. Plus, sibling and ensemble discounts are available, and the folks at Seed Harvest will work with you to find a tuition rate that will work for your family. Now enrolling for Christmas singers, ages 6 to 12. More information is available online at seedharvestmusicacademy.org. Micah and Brittany Simpson play in our local community symphonic band and are willing and ready to work with your child today.
Founded in 1887, Cullman Savings Bank serves the people of Cullman with a full line of banking services. One of those services is their legacy checking account, available to those 50-plus, military, teachers, policemen, and firefighters. It features no monthly service charge, interest earned on any balance, free paper or e-statements, and two free boxes of checks per year, along with other features. You can stop by any one of four convenient locations and ask them about the legacy checking account, or visit www.cullmansavingsbank.com. For more information. Cullman Savings Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
Welcome back. Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, is proud to present Life Talk Live, a show that takes a look at relationships and mental health. A show about relationships with your family, relationships with your employer, relationships with yourself and everyone around you. This show is made possible by the support of the Delta Center, located at 300 First Avenue Southeast in Cullman,
and by Lee's Veterinary Hospital and veterinarian Bruce Lee, located at 2126 2nd Avenue Northwest here in Cullman, or online at leesvethospital.com. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, here's your host for Life Talk Live, Dr. Howard Rogers.
We are back thinking about thought diaries, and I think we're making the assumption here that people that get angry a lot would like to change.
Well, unless they're willing to change, they're going to continue doing things the way they've always done them.
Well, that's the definition of insanity. If you do what you've always done, you're going to have what you've always had.
Right.
If you act like you've always acted, you're going to be suffering the consequences that you've always suffered. So maybe during the new year, you might want to think about getting your anger, your frustration, your aggressiveness under control. And you can do that with a thought diary.
Well, it helps you because it helps you to identify your thoughts, and then once you've identified them, then, you know, are they assumptions, interpretations, beliefs, values? You know, what goes into your thoughts about that?
Boy, you're really getting deep on that, aren't you?
Hey, that's what we get paid for.
Yeah, you identify the situation, the emotions, your behavior, and then the thing that started it all were your thoughts.
Right. And then you need to rate the strength of your belief. Mm-hmm. I know this is getting pretty, you know, technical.
Yeah, and it may be hard to follow without our thought diary. And seriously, if you want one of these, give us a call or send a stamp, self-addressed envelope, and put on the outside of it, thought diary. I will make sure that you get one, and then if you have questions, Richard or I want to be happy to make an appointment to see you, 256-962-6296. Identify your thoughts. So what was I thinking? What was running through my head? And that's kind of...
Well, okay, why don't we go through what a typical thought diary would have in it?
Hey, that's an idea. We actually have one here, don't we?
Well, that's what I was looking at.
So what is the situation?
Well, okay, in our example, I asked a friend to go shopping with me, and she said no.
And she has a right to do that, right? She has a right to say no.
Well, yes, but what emotions was I feeling?
Mm-hmm.
And then how strong were those?
So how do we rate the strength of emotions?
Well, it's not something with an automatic built-in code.
No.
I would say you do it 0 to 100. Anything close to 100, you're looking at a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything around 0, you probably wouldn't write it down.
True, true.
But in this particular case, she was feeling hurt and angry.
And isn't it amazing how almost anything will touch off the anger response?
Again, that goes back to your, you know, how tense you are, mm-hmm. you know, just at the time it happens. Where you're starting will affect both your interpretation of the event, but also how strongly you feel whatever the feeling is.
And in all of this, we're going to have physical responses in our body that are the typical responses that you get from a stress situation, which is in essence what this is.
Well, if you notice your hands balling up mm-hmm. into fists, that's a pretty good indication that you're really unpleasantly involved
yes,
with that situation.
Yes, but there's other responses there too. You get tense.
Right, and if you've ever had a job that you just you know, were on edge all the time, mm-hmm. by the end of the day, you were hurting your shoulders, mm-hmm. your back, you hurt from all the tenseness in those muscles.
And you end up with a tight chest, and I think I read that it was maybe the Mayo Clinic said that on any given ER visit that was there for a heart attack, probably 80% of it could be stress or panic.
Right, very likely. But then a clenched jaw, Mm-hmm. You know, that goes along with that feeling, you know, just wired, not real happy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what did you do? What did she do in that situation?
Well, she says she cried. Then she ignored the next phone call.
Now, okay.
Getting a little passive here, aren't we?
What was passive, that? Aggressive. Passive, assertive, or aggressive? That was passive aggressive.
That was passive
aggressive. If you needed
aggressive.
A definition of that, that's a good example
I'm
of
not
it.
Answering.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now here's the. We're getting to a little more depth to the reaction and everything.
Back to the thoughts, aren't we?
What thoughts were running through her head?
I said yes to go shopping with her when I didn't want to. So she said she should have said yes to me. She is selfish to say no. Maybe she doesn't like me anymore.
Oof. Well, there's a number of things to those statements.
Unpack it for us.
All right. The first thing is, which is the strongest thought? Well, maybe it's that she was selfish for saying no.
Yeah. Yeah, selfish.
Okay, and how much do you believe that thought?
About 80%.
All right. And really, you need to go through each of those thoughts and apply that little, you know, thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back to that, are these passive, assertive, or aggressive thoughts?
Yeah.
Well, when you said yes to go shopping when you didn't want to, that's pretty passive.
That's about as passive as you can get.
So she should have said yes to me. Where does that come from? That's an aggressive sort of statement,
yes,
isn't
it? Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
She is selfish to say no. Mm. Well, did she tell you she was selfish?
Sometimes we figure that out.
Sometimes we make it up.
Yes.
Okay, and maybe she doesn't like me anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, all I can say is if her dislike is contingent on one thing, then maybe you really don't want to be friends with that
this
person.
This is true. This is true. And that brings another point that I have told people. What should I do with this friend? Run fast, run far.
Well,
and some people, I mean, you just need to get away from them. They're toxic.
And what I would suggest to people is that they think it through realistically and challenge those beliefs that they feel really aren't true.
Yeah, so let's go with the situation. I asked a friend to go shopping with me, and she said no, and I got all upset. So is there any evidence that my thought is true? The thought being that she doesn't like me.
I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't either. I don't.
There's nothing in that says, right. And that's the key difference between a rational and an irrational mm-hmm. belief about
right.
something.
Right.
Is what's the evidence?
Yeah. Is there any evidence? No. Am I ignoring my rights or the rights of the other person? If so, what am I ignoring?
Well, you ignored your own right to say no when you said you would go, and now you're ignoring her right to say no by acting as if, you know, she should have gone. And everyone has the right to say no.
Yes.
Now, it may have been that she didn't want to go, but it's more likely she had something else that came up or that was going on. But you don't know based on what you've heard up to this point.
So maybe there's other things happening. Maybe we need to cut her some slack for things that we're not aware of.
Well, are there any other ways of interpreting the situation?
I'm betting there is.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
She may be tired. She may not want to go shopping. She may not have any money. I mean, she may have something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is you're mind reading, or she's mind reading.
Yeah.
What she's thinking. I don't know what that other person's thinking.
Yeah, but I've also said no to her at times, and it didn't mean I didn't like her.
So why would it mean that she doesn't like me?
Beats me.
Hmm.
Maybe that's illogical, you reckon? Yeah. What would be a more assertive way to think about this?
Well, she does have a right to say no, and that doesn't mean she's selfish, and it doesn't say anything about how she feels towards me. Not in and of itself. Now, if I went on with the conversation and she said, well, you know, I wish you'd just drop dead, that would give it away.
Yeah, that would. That's going to the other extreme. That's somewhat aggressive.
That's it. So what would be a more assertive way to behave in that situation?
I think, you know, maybe catching up another time, going somewhere, getting coffee, going for a walk in the park might be a better way, or just spending some time talking on the phone or Facebooking or FaceTime or something that doesn't require a lot of effort or expense, just to kind of mend the hurt.
Well, and we don't know why she didn't go.
No.
It may be that, you know, she wouldn't tell you that she didn't have the money to go. And so if you suggested something that, you know, may not require any money, yeah, then that might be one of the things that she would consider doing that would, you know, allow her to get out of that box.
Yeah. Now, if we do this thought diary and we pull all of this together and we're totally honest, let's re-rate the situation and see what we come up with.
All right. The first time we said 70.
Hurt 70, angry 80.
Okay. I would say after rethinking this thing that probably it's closer to 20-20 on the hurt and maybe 10 on the anger. Mm-hmm. And that really is probably overdoing the real situation.
Yeah, I think it really is. And it may be the belief what we think is 10, but even at that, with those scores, is that really something you want to lose a friend over?
No. In fact, it's not something to get upset over.
No.
But we did.
Yes.
And that's the key. When you get that upset, you tend to respond automatically.
Now, there's two ways of doing this. Most everyone, maybe I shouldn't say that. Many people going through this would go through what she went through. She would get hurt, she would get angry, and without some means to measure this and refocus, they're going to carry that with them for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days, weeks, months, years, whatever.
Well, and that's another reason why when people are under a lot of stress, this actually makes the stress worse. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. they're not seeing the world the way it is. They're seeing it the way that they're view of the world has interpreted it.
Right, and it's really important to good health, to good mental health, to good emotional health, to not allow things to linger on in your mind.
Well, and the way to approach that is to start by learning to relax, because yes, as long as your hands or fists are balled up and your jaw's clenched, you're not going to respond in a way that's positive.
True.
And so learning to relax is going to be key. Mm-hmm. And that, well.
And we need to focus this and come up with a more balanced way and more assertive way of thinking and behaving and re-rate the intensity. And then once we re-rate that, as you said, you've got to learn to relax. Now, there's several ways. There's the breathing exercises, and we're not going to spend a lot of time going on or over these, but you can find them on the internet, breathing exercises. You can do the Jacobson
progressive muscle relaxation.
Yeah, those are good. But you've got to do something that will refocus your mind and allow your mind to relax.
And the deep breathing, the relaxation, those are both important. And when you carry that stress from day to day to day and it keeps building up, you need to learn to let go of that at some time. And hopefully 4 or 5 times a day.
And I think you made a point there, and it keeps building up, and it will.
Sure it will.
It will grow and grow and grow and grow And the more it grows, it's going to affect your ability to work, your ability to think, your ability to have fun. And it's just going, as you're getting in bed, it's going to pop up and it's going to blow the top off of your head because you haven't dealt with it.
And then your assertiveness has gone out the window. You become either passive or become aggressive.
Neither of which is going to be
helpful to getting what you want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you want one of the diaries, send us. I think Jay would be amenable to taking your address down, but the better way would be to send us a stamped self-addressed envelope. We'll make a copy. We'll send it back to you.
Well, what address are they going to send it to?
300 First Avenue Southeast, Cullman, Alabama, the Delta Center.
And that's 35055, isn't
it? Yes.
Okay.
I'm Howard Rogers.
And I'm Richard Morris.
See you next week.